Hello and welcome to X-Men Unraveled. I'm your host, Noelle, and this is the podcast that follows the stories of the X-Men in chronological order. Last time, the X-Men faced off with Count Nefaria, but issue number 23 ended on a cliffhanger when Jean Grey announced that she had to leave the X-Men forever. Of course, reading this almost 60 years after it was released, we know that Jean remains central to the X-Men over the decades, and this is not really a permanent goodbye. But it does have a huge impact on Jean's life and the dynamics of the team. Today's episode is going to be a little shorter than expected because I have to travel for work, and it limited the time I had to get the episode ready. And I like to keep the advice of Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec in mind, who said, "Never half-ass two things, whole-ass one thing." So even though I planned to cover two stories today, I'm only covering the next issue, Uncanny X-Men number 24, where we learn why Jean is leaving and meet the Locust. I decided that instead of rushing and half-ass covering the story of both the Locust and El Tigre today, I'm whole-assing the story of the Locust, and El Tigre has a two-part story anyway, so I'll whole-ass cover both issues next time. Podcasting doesn't pay my bills, so I do have to keep my day job, and I hope you understand and forgive the programming change. With that, let's find out what's going on with Jean Grey and meet the Locust. Uncanny X-Men number 24 is titled The Plague of the Locust. On the cover, we have the X-Men facing off against a man in an all-black suit complete with insect wings. He looks quite menacing, and honestly, this version of his outfit is much more threatening than what we see in the issue itself, where it's green and he just looks like a man dressed up as a bug. But before we learn more about our villain, let's start with Jean Grey. The issue opens up with Jean perusing the X-Men's library and asking Professor X if she can borrow some books on telekinetic research. Not a genre of books I was aware existed. And Xavier tells her that she can keep them as a parting gift from the team. And there's a text insert on this page that informs us that Jean's parents have decided to disenroll her in Xavier's school and sign her up for a more conventional college. She tells the team that since they graduated some time back, her parents want her to start working on her college degree, and they have signed her up for Metro College, which also happens to be the school that Johnny Storm, the Human Torch, attends. Jean is obviously very sad and upset to be leaving, and her fellow X-Men are sad to see her go as well, especially Warren and Scott. On the first page, we see Warren thinking to himself that he's been wanting Jean to return his feelings, and she has to leave just as he thinks he has a chance with her. Scott, meanwhile, is quite upset about Jean's departure, even though he's never been able to overcome his fears about his powers and let Jean know how he feels. After Jean packs up and changes into her regular clothes, the team gathers around and presents her a corsage as a gift, and Jean says she'll cherish it forever. Then Warren and Scott drive her into the city to Metro College. Jean is upset on the drive because while everyone else has expressed their sadness about her leaving, Scott has been quiet all day. And it does seem like it was a pretty quiet drive. Again, the three of them are stuck in this weird little love triangle. When they arrive at the school, it's raining and the three of them are caught up in their own thoughts about the change. But Scott carries her suitcase, and Jean meets a fellow student named Ted Roberts. He introduces himself and walks away with Jean, offering to help her get checked in if she'll split a big orange drink with him. I guess this is a soda. I really don't know what this 60s lingo means. Jean happily accepts, and poor Scott sees this whole exchange, thinking he's lost Jean forever. But while some things change, others stay the same, and as the X-Men are dealing with the loss of their team member, a new villain is putting his plot into motion. In the next panel, we see the Locust in action. He's in a green Locust costume, complete with a bug eye mask and wings. It's night, and he's at a farm, where he releases a group of Locusts who start eating the crops. And as they eat, the Locusts start to grow, eventually reaching the size of what looks like a person. And as his Locusts consume the crops, the Locust starts making a speech to his small army of large insects. He says, "Too long have lesser mortals lorded it over this abundant planet. It is not the weak who must inherit the earth, but the strong, and we are the strong." So who is this guy? What does he want? Of course, his story is revealed over the course of the issue, but you know I like to know who we're dealing with first. Behind the insect suit is a man named Dr. August Hopper, an entomologist. I love the trend of just, like, naming characters after what villainy they're going into. In the past, he taught at Jean's new school, Metro College, until he was fired for some theories about insect mutation that were apparently just too much for academia. From there, Hopper began working for a company called Bryan Chemicals, developing pesticides. However, Hopper is bitter because he's never been able to make a name for himself in his professional career. First, Metro College hated his theories and fired him, and then he developed products for Bryan Chemicals, but the company got all of the credit. So he goes full mad scientist in order to get the fame he believes he deserves. While at Bryan Chemicals, apparently after he made his new pesticides, Hopper starts building what he names his Magno Ray, which causes insects to grow to enormous sizes. He then further improves the device so that it's portable, which allows him to unleash giant insects on the world to threaten food supplies. Once his giant bugs have caused enough damage, he plans to reveal an antidote that will stop the devastation, earning himself credit as a hero in the process. It's an absolutely insane plan, but while mentally August Hopper is clearly unwell, he unfortunately has the intelligence to make his dream a reality. So, as the Locust, August Hopper sets a horde of oversized locusts on a farm, absolutely decimating a local farmer's crops overnight. The farmer calls the police and makes a report about the giant locusts and the strange appearance of one that happened to look half human. The cops mock him, but more farms are hit and the story spreads and eventually gets covered on the news. Xavier learns about the whole event and says that the X-Men need to investigate because he thinks the locusts are mutated and mutations are within the purview of the team. So Xavier and the X-Men, minus Jean, jump in their helicopter and go to investigate the farms. They want to get in and out of the area quickly because the National Guard is also on the way, and so they want to avoid being mistakenly linked to the locusts. Humans have been quick to turn on the team time and again, so they don't want to give any ammo to anti-mutant propaganda. Xavier orders the team to capture one of the giant insects to take back to the mansion for study, and the team finds the locusts chowing down on another field, but catching one proves to be a little bit difficult. Beast leaps on the back of one, but ends up trapped as it flies away, and he has to be rescued by Angel, but Bobby manages to stab one with an ice spear just as a helicopter dropping pesticides flies overhead. I actually felt bad for this poor locust that just got stabbed, but, you know, it is destroying crops, so no blame for Bobby. The team escapes being poisoned and loads the locust onto their own helicopter to get away. Then the National Guard soldiers arrive and take flamethrowers to the rest of the locusts. Unfortunately, though, August Hopper was nearby and saw this whole thing play out, so now he knows that the X-Men are a threat to his plan. Meanwhile, Jean is back at Metro College and grabs a coffee with Ted Rogers. They sit down at a table after Jean says she's a bit lonely adjusting to the school. Ted responds that he's a psychology minor, so he's happy to talk to her about it. And that's a statement that really took me back to my undergrad days when everyone thought they knew things because they took their first 101 class. But the two of them don't get far into their conversation because another group of students starts making fun of a man walking through the cafe. Ted explains to Jean that the man is Dr. Hopper and that he was fired from the school for his theories. Jean isn't sure why, but she feels like there's something wrong about the man. But she brushes it off, saying that she's not an X-Man anymore and doesn't need to constantly look over her shoulder for danger. The next day, Xavier is examining the locust that the team captured, which looks like it's about 8 feet tall, at least. And he tells the team that the insect's size appears to have been increased artificially. Warren asks if it's the work of a mutant, but Xavier says no. He had equipped their helicopter with a portable Cerebro that did not detect any mutants within 20 miles of the farm they visited. Just then, Jean arrives for a visit, and they tell her about their encounter with the locusts. She shares with them the details about Dr. Hopper that she learned, and that he had a theory that something like this would happen. Xavier asks her more about it and what she heard, and then tells Warren to drive him to meet this Dr. Hopper at Ryan Chemicals. When they arrive, Xavier talks to an employee about meeting Hopper, but unfortunately, he's not in the office. But the man does give Xavier a tour of Hopper's office, perhaps under some psychic manipulation, because the man reveals that the office is supposed to be off limits to just about everyone but Hopper himself. He does not want anyone going in there. Xavier finds some canisters that are marked locust eggs and formulas for ionic particles to stimulate growth. Xavier then investigates further, by which I mean he like looked up at a wall. And sees a map marked with several X's. One of them conveniently happens to be exactly where the first locust swarm appeared. So Xavier quickly takes note of the locations and leaves in a hurry to get the X-Men back into action. This time, Jean is able to join as well. The team all jump in the helicopter and flies for several hours to reach a farmland along the Ohio River, where several of the X's were marked on Hopper's map. They also start hearing radio reports of more locusts arriving in the area. They find the locust, but the locust is already waiting for them. Cyclops confronts him and says that they're going to put an end to his schemes, and the locust responds by literally backhanding Cyclops, which is kind of embarrassing. Beast is upset and charges in, but the locust leaps into the air and flies away. Angel is quick to go after him, but the locust is ready. He zaps Angel with an ionic stun ray. The device is meant to keep his insect army in check, but it does pretty well as an offensive weapon against heroes too. Angel starts falling to the ground until Marvel Girl catches him with her telekinesis. Cyclops asks Jean if she can confirm that the locust is Dr. Hopper. She says she can't be certain with the costume, but his beard and voice make her believe that it's him. The X-Men go on the attack, with Cyclops hitting the locust with his optic beam and Iceman forming a patch of ice below Locust's feet. He slips and falls to the ground, but the antenna on his suit start to glow and he calls in bug reinforcements. A giant beetle, it's like the size of a small airplane, flies at the team, and then the locust uses his magno ray on a bunch of wasps. Honestly, the story is very 60s and silly, but one regular-sized wasp is scary enough. This is like seven of them, and they're all the size of a human. Luckily, Iceman is able to create an ice dome around the team, and the wasps are unable to attack. The wasps decide to go after an easier target and descend upon the locusts that are crunching away on the crops nearby. As the X-Men break out of the ice dome, the National Guard arrives and shoots down the wasps and once again burn up the locusts with flamethrowers. Xavier and the X-Men load back up into the helicopter and go after Hopper, who used all of the commotion to escape. From the air, the X-Men spot a red trailer parked in an isolated area and go investigate. Dr. Hopper is inside and he's preparing a new batch of insects. Xavier then makes a strange decision to dress up as a wandering old hermit, complete with a fake beard, blue hat and blue cape, and a large walking stick. He's once again using the device that allows him to walk. And he tries to talk Hopper out of his mad scheme. Xavier says, "I have come as a friend to save you from your own folly," and then he tries to convince Hopper to use his abilities for good rather than evil. Hopper is not impressed, not interested, and flies away to unleash more locusts. When Hopper lands, he is quickly surrounded by the X-Men who go on the attack. Beast jumps at him, but the locust flies into the air and kicks him away. Honestly, Beast is not doing well against this villain. And then the locust traps Angel in a net made of caterpillar cocoon silk. While the X-Men are trying to regroup, Locust creates two more giant beetles. They're enormous. But Marvel Girl realizes that the Locust is using the antenna on his costume to control his giant bugs, so she jumps into action. She uses her telekinesis to basically tie a knot in the Locust's antenna, cutting off his control over the insects. The giant beetles then stop their charge towards the X-Men and head straight at the Locust. Hopper flies back to his trailer where he has the antidote to shrink the beetles back down. But while he's inside, the beetles jump on the trailer and are like trying to break in to catch Locust. One of the characters makes a comment that like maybe he looks like something the beetles would normally be eating, so that's why they're so determined to catch him. Adding to the Locust's bad luck, the trailer is sitting on a cliff over the river, and the weight of the beetles starts to send it toward the edge. Cyclops orders the X-Men to use their powers to keep it from falling, but they're not able to stop it. So Cyclops orders Angel to rescue the Locust, and he flies in, pulls the villain to safety, just as the trailer starts tumbling over the cliff. Locust does not thank the team for saving his life. He starts complaining that all of his equipment is now destroyed, ruining his life's work. Xavier then walks up, still in his hermit outfit, telling Hopper that the X-Men could have let him die, but chose not to. Hopper then immediately repents of his actions, saying that maybe he can atone for his crimes. He walks away, defeated, and tosses his Magno Ray and stun weapon to the ground, saying that he's going to turn himself into the authorities. And so Xavier finally takes off his dumb costume and says that he thought his disguise would allow him to reason with Hopper. But I don't buy it. Hopper made a real quick 180. I think in this second encounter, Xavier probably used his telepathic abilities to manipulate Hopper into regretting his actions and turning himself in. Considering that, like, a few minutes earlier when Xavier did just talk to him, Hopper completely disregarded what Xavier had to say. So I find it difficult that this man who came up with this plan and set it into motion really just changed his mind at the last minute because Xavier was so convincing. The issue ends with Beast asking Xavier whether he thinks they'll see Hopper again, and Xavier answers that they can only hope that Hopper has permanently learned his lesson, because if he were to try again with his army of giant insects, they might not be able to stop him. And that is the last we see of Dr. August Hopper for quite a while. He reappears again in The Incredible Hulk number 194 and X-Factor number 52. So it'll be a while before he makes another appearance on this podcast. To be honest, the Locust might be my least favorite villain we've met so far, primarily because I hate bugs more than just about anything. I would not be able to handle being around Hopper's giant locusts and beetles, and the giant wasps are legitimately a terrifying thought. A regular-sized wasp once flew into my car while I was driving and stung me on the arm, and I'm lucky I didn't end up crashing. So, props to the X-Men for being able to handle this infestation. Who knew that an entomologist could be so dangerous? Although one thing I did really like was the backstory that Roy Thomas, who wrote this issue, gave Dr. Hopper. His turn from an unappreciated academic to mad scientist is honestly a pretty good one. That is it for today. Again, my apologies for the short episode. Next time, I'll cover the next two issues and we'll meet El Tigre, who obtains the power of the Mayan god Kukulkan. Until then, check out the Instagram for pictures from this issue as well as any other updates. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you next time.